Hera and Juno, the protector of marriage and women, who was the sister and wife of Zeus in Greek mythology, and the wife of Jupiter in Roman mythology. Hestia and Vesta, the goddess of the hearth, plus Rhea or Ops, who was wife and sister of the Greek horn god Cronus. Semiramis was initially included in the pagan Babylonian trinity as the Holy Spirit or seed of the divine son in its mother's womb. With time, however, the father Nimrod was practically overlooked and worshipped only as the god incarnate son in his mother's arms. So Nimrod became the son, impregnated Semiramis, and he was reincarnated in Tammuz. So Semiramis was both Nimrod's wife and his mother, because he was reincarnated in Tammuz. Numerous Babylonian monuments show the goddess mother Semiramis with her son in her arms. This worship of mother and child spread throughout the known world and given different names in the various languages of the world. Scandinavians called her Dissa, pictured with child. The Egyptian mother and child were worshipped as Isis, with the infant Osiris or Horus seated on his mother's lap. Now, you know that that depiction of it, see, we imported the Egyptian version of Semiramis and Nimrod. It's on the back of your dollar bill. That eye in the middle of that capstone is the eye of Horus, which is the son of Isis and Osiris. So, it's the son of Isis, and the infant was Osiris, who was also known as Horus. We call it the all-seeing eye of Horus, who is the son of Isis. So you see now how this thing is permeating everything. You just don't know it. It's goddess worship. Muses are actually the daughters of God, gods and goddesses. We get the word music from it. A muse is a female channel to entertain and have you enthralled with their beauty and what they fabricate. Another word for a muse is what? A diva. She's a goddess. That's why all these singers are nothing but diviners of the. Anytime you hear about ancient gods and goddesses, you got to think immediately what? Fallen angels and the Nephilim, the demons. That's all they are. They hid behind the names of gods and goddesses. Notice how God always accosted the gods of the Philistines or the gods of the Hittites or the gods of. He was dealing with fallen angels and Nephilim, demons. But see, they took on human personality as they were worshipped. In India, the mother and child were called Devaki and Krishna. You ever heard of Hara Krishnas? And also Issi and Aswara, as they are worshipped to this day. In Asia, they were known as Sibyl and Deosis. In pagan Rome, as Fortuna and Jupiter, or Jupiter the boy. In Greece, as Ceres, the great mother with babe in her breast, or in Eris Irene, the goddess of peace, with the boy Plutus in her arms. The image of mother with child in her arms was so firmly entrenched in the pagan mind that after the time Christianity appeared on the scene in the 4th century, these statues and paintings were merely renamed and worshipped as the Virgin Mary with her God incarnate son Jesus. That's not Mary and Jesus. That is actually Semiramis and Tammuz that you see with a halo around the head in Roman Catholicism. Showing what? Sun worship. This stuff is real. And a billion people, Roman Catholics, follow it. I'm telling you, you start pushing over those two pillars now, you're going to get a volatile response. That's why God has to refabricate you from the inside out. God is not waiting because he's not able to do anything. Know what he's waiting on? Huh? For us to be able to handle it. If he moved, most Christian folk couldn't take the what? The backlash. So you got to be refabricated. And I'm going to show you how he changes you to be able to stand the backlash. If you got no horse in the race, you don't care who wins the race. You got no dog in the race. The greyhounds can run all day. I ain't got no bet placed, and I don't own a dog. It don't impact me not one inch. Excuse me. Now watch this. The pagan mother and child in Christianity, the Roman Catholic worship of Mary with the infant Jesus. In fact, in Tibet, China, and Japan, Jesuit missionaries were astonished to find the counterpart of the Madonna and child as devoutly worshipped as they were in Rome. Xing Mu, the Holy Mother in China, was betrayed with a child in her arms and the glory around her exactly as she had been fashioned by the Roman Catholic artisans. Without even seeing the Madonna and Virgin Mary and all this stuff, China already had the Mother Goddess holding the baby because it came from Nimrod and Semiramis with Tammuz. It's government and religion now. And religious elements in the world are feminine. You got to remember that. It's a woman riding the beast. It ain't no God the Father. Oprah just told you that God ain't real. The thing is going down. It's coming to a head. Why do you see sodomites everywhere? It's spewing forth from this contaminated, perverted image of God. The Bible just told you in Revelation 17 that the woman riding the beast is the mother of what? Harlots and what? Abominations. What's an abomination? For a man to lie with a man as he lies with a woman is an abomination. She's the mother of whores and homosexuals. That's what you can't look at the world. You can't see it. Everything lifted up and deified and honored and glorified now is either a whore or a homosexual. The devil ain't even, he hiding this thing in plain sight. In Egypt, as the queen of heaven, she was the greatest and most worshipped of all the divinities. During Egyptian bondage, the Israelites repeatedly departed from the one true invisible Elohim and worshiped the pagan mother. That's what they were trying to get back to. When they came out of Egypt, they were used to that pagan mother God. That's what made them so contrary to God. God was a father, a disciplinarian, and he gave commands. I want my mommy. That's what's wrong with a man.
That's right.
He's a thumb-sucking mama's boy. And he can't take commands. During Egyptian bondage, the Israelites repeatedly departed from their one true invisible Elohim and worshiped the pagan mother. When the Israelites fell into apostasy under King Solomon, they worshiped this mother goddess as Ashtaroth, the Asherah, a name by which the pagan Babylonian goddess was known to the Israelites. As the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of Yahweh and served the Baals, various Lord gods depicting Nimrod. See, the Baals were different Lord gods depicting Nimrod, the sun god. Baal was the sun god. It came from Nimrod. And the Ashtaroth, who is Semiramis. Remember Elijah's conflict? Baal and Ashtaroth. Nimrod and Semiramis. The gods of Syria. The gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, and the gods of the Philistines, and they forsook Yahweh and did not serve him in the book of Judges. Later, during the time of the prophet Jeremiah, the Jews worshiped the queen of heaven again. You know, he talked about pouring out drink offerings to the queen of heaven. It goes on and on. I gave you the common names of the gods and goddesses that you found in Greece and in Egypt and all the different civilizations. Now, here's something very interesting here. Worship of the mother and child spread from Babylon to the ends of the earth, but were called different names in the languages of the various countries where their worship appeared. The ancient Germans worshiped the Virgin Hertha with the child in the arms of his mother. The Scandinavians called her Dissa, pictured with the child. In Egypt, the mother and her child were worshipped as Isis with the infant Osiris or Horus seated on his mother's lap. In India, the mother and child were called Devi and Krishna, and also Isi and Aswara. Now, I told you all of that. Semiramis was worshipped in Ephesus as the pagan fertility god Diana, who represented the generative powers of nature. She was referred to as a fertility goddess because she mothered all the numerous pagan gods, representing the god incarnate Tammuz. Dinah was pictured with numerous teats, so she had a lot of breasts, so that she could nurse all the pagan gods. She was like a dog, had all these breasts to nurse all the pagan gods. And she wore a tower-shaped crown symbolizing the Babylonian Tower of Babel. Legend has it that Semiramis died. She ascended into heaven and was returned to earth inside a large egg, which fell into the Euphrates River. The egg was pushed ashore by a dove, and she emerged from the egg as Astarte or Ishtar. That's where you get Easter from, and Easter eggs. To show her gratitude to the dove, she turned it into an egg-laying rabbit. That's where all this stuff at Easter come from, man. All signs of what? Fertility. The egg, the rabbit, is about fertility. Another sign or symbol found throughout Babylonia is the obelisk, a phallic symbol. You know what we call the Washington Monument? That's really a big penis sitting up in the middle of Washington, showing worship to, it's showing intercourse with the heavenlies. These can also be seen in Egypt, Rome, and Washington, D.C. The obelisk in St. Peter's Square at the Vatican was dragged up to Rome from Egypt. The Washington Monument is a sign that Babylon is alive and well in the USA. In the 7th century CE, which is the common era, that they used that instead of AD after Christ's death. They tried to change the CE so as to disavow AD, which is after the death of Christ. When Rome sought to harness the power of the great population of the Ishmaelites in the desert and use them to purge Jews and Messianic believers from the Holy Land, they groomed a handsome young lad named Mohammed to lead them. So Rome got the Ishmaelites, who already hated Isaac because he was disenfranchised by Abraham. They got a handsome young man named Mohammed to lead them. They were the creators of the religion of Islam, with the moon goddess Astaroth Semiramis as their god, and called that goddess Allah. We're dealing with a feminized worship system in the worship of the Muslims. That's why they hate you worshiping a father and Christians. That's why they hate the Israelites who worship the father god. This is a war pitting feminine program people against masculine program people. And for a woman to be a woman, she must be feminized. And because she's feminized, she is actually the reflection of masculinity. Remember, she's woman from man. You will have a natural inclination to walk with men, not homosexuals and not hardcore lesbians. Because you're a woman, you reflect the man. The Bible says the glory of the man is the woman. She reflects the man. I can walk into any church and tell you all about it. Just look at the women. I can tell you everything about that church if I look at the women. If they dress like hoes, you got a church full of men and a whoremongers. You got dictatorial, loud, abrasive women. You got sissies up in here trying to lead the thing called the women have taken it over. If you got demure, graceful women that reflect some vestige of honor and dignity, you got a church in order. Because they're going to reflect what the men are. Don't look at the men. You walk into a home, that wife is going to reflect the husband every time. You got a big mouth, crazy wife. It's something, man, that is wrong somewhere. Because you get back home and reel this nut in if you had any sense. And tell her, look, you got a big mouth. Stop talking so much. Yeah, where we go? You got your big mouth running, and you need to shut up. And they'll be conscious of what you told them. Believe me. But see, that's what has to happen. A guy's got to step into this foray and make a stand. So you got government and religion standing there as this thing that's trying to stop the church. Now, how's the church avoid the stupidity of this environment? Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. It's a wild environment. The government and religion is being is forecasting wine upon you. If you drink it, you'll be what? Drunk with the wine of the interaction between the harlot and the government. You don't want to start drinking down the interactions between the harlot and the government, because it's systemic defilement. The system will defile you. You're trying to understand, interact, and dialogue with the system, and it's making you unclean. Because you're trying to even engage your mind to understand it, it will thwart any relationship with God, because it's all built on the back of Nimrod and Semiramis. Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, meaning it can be frustrated. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Grace is not operative in the law. That's why you can frustrate grace by trying to do it yourself under the law and work your way into salvation. Are there works appended to salvation? Yes. It's the work of the Spirit through you. It's all it is this. The Spirit working through you, both to will and to do of God's good pleasure. Jesus Christ working in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You have no energy coming from the flesh to accomplish anything. All you got then is a dead work. Look at Galatians 6, verse 11. You know how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Anybody trying to get you appended to some work under the flesh is trying to glory in your flesh because you obey them, not God. I got you to do what I said, and now I'm your Lord and Master because you obey me. Avoid that trash like the plague. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So he's saying whether you be a Jew or a Greek, you got to be a new creature to walk this thing out. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Break, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Your spirit, amen. Not your nasty flesh, with your spirit. So you see now, here's the conflict. We're dealing with spiritual beings, spiritual people going to destroy these two columns that hold the world up. You're coming against a spiritual government and a spiritual religious entity that's in an unseen realm anchoring this place. It's not the physical government. We're not talking about rebelling against the U.S. government. That's garbage. There's a government found in Ephesians chapter 6, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, that actually, it actually amalgamates with the seen governments. But the seen governments are governed by this unseen world. That's why it's volatility when you deal with it. You deal with the unseen religious governors that are spirit beings, fallen angels, and demons. And you begin to deal with religion, you get a volatile response. Because it's undergirded by unseen spirit beings that actually empower it. If you accost it, they're going to strike out at you. They're going to pinpoint you and strike at you. You got to know that. That's why your skin has to be thick. How does your skin get thick? You crucify yourself that you're not alive to feel the blows. You can't kill a dead man twice. The fear of death is the bondage of the Christian. They are afraid to die. So what is God's remedy for everything that makes us suitable for war? The cross. The cross. The cross is something you pass through, and once you close the door of the cross behind you, the world is over there and you're over here. I'm crucified. I'm dead to the world and the world is dead to me. Now I'm going to show you how you're going to be the oddest person and the strangest person on the block in any city you walk in, because you're dead to your environmental inputs. Now, understand this. The devil wants to incite you. Now get these words right. These are the two words I mentioned earlier. You can get an incitement or you can get excitement. Excitement about God's kingdom is good. Man, you're excited about the things of God. I'm excited about the conference coming up. I'm excited to be with the saints. Excitement is good. But the devil seeks to incite. What's an insight? An incitement leads to an insurrection. Why has he got white police officers killing black boys? He's trying to incite a riot. Now they're talking about two white cops in New York City being assassinated. You think the cops are just going to walk around feeling like, well, that's fine. No. They're in the flesh. What we miss is the cops and the robbers are all demonized. So why would you plug into that argument? It's going to draw you back into the world and racial strife. And the devil will captivate your mind through his incitement. He's trying to incite you and stir up your emotions. So I tell my wife, I don't want to look at any black films about how blacks were done in the 30s and 40s and 50s. Because you're going to come away from that thinking, you know, no white folk, man, they something else. They, see, white folk, I'm going to tell you about white folks. See, they got you. The devil got you. Roots and all the rest of that stuff you look at. You want to see a spiritual movie? You say, I don't see how this is spiritual. Go and watch Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, starring Sidney Poitier. You say, I don't see. Go watch it. It's one line in that movie. Now, the movie is about Sidney Poitier going to marry a white lady, a white girl in like the 50s or 60s or sometime. And one line in that movie kind of just the dialogue there kind of explained all of life. His daddy was a postman, a black postman, and told Sidney Poitier, you shouldn't be marrying this white girl. I've carried these letters all my life to see you have a good life, a better life. He said, look, dad, your problem is you see yourself as a black man. I see myself as just a man. Racial identity will bind you. Because you don't have racial identity when you've been born again. Amen. There is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor Scythian. Yes. You can't put any appendage on you as a born again person. Because the church has to come together as Samson, free from racial strife. Amen. And racial strife comes from racial identity. You got preachers still bound by racism and justifying it. Brother, you need some deliverance. Amen. We got to get those racist demons cast out of you so you can amalgamate into the body of Christ. How do you identify the body of Christ? It has the attributes of water, colorless, odorless, tasteless. That's pure water, good buddy. No mud in it, no granules, no rock salt, no junk in the water. That's how you clean stuff. You want to clean people for you to flow forth the spirit out of you to wash another man? You got to be pure. He told Timothy, keep yourself pure. Amen. Don't be defiled. I hear the same things y'all do. I listen to the same stuff you do. I examine a lot of stuff that y'all don't even know I examine. Because I'm called to do this. I got to look at the broad spectrum of life. I got to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I see it. I weigh a lot of things. I weigh what can a person get out of this as opposed to what will harm them. And then I'll come back and fix the stuff later that will harm you. Don't worry about that. I mean, I'll always fix stuff. But if it can get you up the road 5 paces, we'll get rid of the 2 paces that took you back 2 paces later. I think if you go up the road 5 steps and you go back 2, we got a +3 there. So we got you further ahead. You see what I'm saying? Now we'll get rid of the other junk in a minute. Because most folks preach with elements of the flesh. I don't know if I got what elements of the flesh I got. I trust God to get rid of them. You know, that's all I can do. And keep moving. But when you got things that are really hurting people, they got to be addressed. They got to be dispatched from the environment because it's doing harm, more harm than good. So you look at what's doing more harm than good. If it's doing more harm than good, like Joel Osteen, you got to totally just tell you, hey, man, that's garbage. Joel Osteen and his ministry will hurt you. It will send you to hell if you believe that stuff. Emotionalism and a bunch of junk that Jake's preaches, that will harm you. Because it'll keep you in the flesh, bound to the flesh and emotionalism, and you'll never cross the river. You take guys like G. Craig Lewis. You'll get more help than hurt from G. Craig Lewis, but you can't anchor yourself in hip-hop forever and talk about the world's music and what's happening in Hollywood and examining the world forever. It's not going to get you across the river and down the road. It can be used to get you in the house, but you got to move on past the door and go deep into the Holy of Holies. You don't want to come into God's kingdom and stay right in the outer court. There's an outer court, an inner court, and a Holy of Holies. There's a depth to God that you can go into. It's deeper things in God than certain things that are out there. So you don't want to get caught up in any ministry that keeps you just fooling around with hip hop and stuff like that. Because it's deeper than that. We get guys all the time coming in on the Facebook group trying to make us understand hip hop and listen to this hip hop song. Man, I'm so far away from that right there that's nonsensical to me. You might as well show me a Fred Flintstone cartoon. Hip hop, it never crosses my mind. Rap is silly to a person going on to know the Lord. The Bible talks about following on to know the Lord. You go deeper. You leave that stuff behind. I didn't bring Rick James with me into this. I didn't bring Parliament Funkadelic with me. I didn't bring the OJs. I didn't bring the Temptations. I didn't bring Gladys Knight and the Pips. So why are you bringing hip hop? Leaving behind the carnal things, the childish things, the temporal things, the worldly things. You press on toward a higher calling in the Lord. The Bible says, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. See, the fabrication of hip hop to another generation would be Kirk Franklin. He tried to fix up Parliament, LTD, and Patrice Rushen and Christianize it. That was flesh. You try to fix up rap and hip hop and Christianize it, it's still flesh. See, it doesn't transfer over. So you got to know where to get off the bus. See, certain ministries and certain ministers can take you just so. You trying to get to Tupelo, Mississippi from here. But the bus stopped in Birmingham. But you can get off of this bus and that bus over there, it's going to Tupelo. So you get off of this bus and get on that bus. That's how salvation is. If you're trying to get to Detroit, you might have to take a bus up to Nashville, switch buses, get as far as the next stop, a little further north, switch another bus, and then go to Detroit. You are made privy to apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to perfect you. You got to take advantage of all the fivefold ministry gifts to get to where you're going. Don't be confined and defined by one thing. If you're being fed by something, don't jump around because you're right there for a reason. He's working on you right there. Just stay content, relax, and let him take all the garbage that can be gotten out of you there. Get it out of you right there. Now, when you're free and the thing begins, you'll pick this up in your spirit. When the thing is not feeding you anymore and it's just not challenging me, I mean, man, I'm finished with the seventh grade, man. I just am. It's not detrimental to the ministry. It's not condemning the ministry. You have just graduated. You got people coming in the front door that might need it. But you have gone, you've grown past that. This is all about organic growth. Now, I'll address this last thing, this black-white contention in the church. It's tension in the church. It's like a swords drawn in the church between black folk and white folk. You know why? Because folk have not been crucified to their racial identity. They're carrying it with them downstream, and then they try to justify it. Black folks suffer from heavy rejection because they were marginalized and identified as the outcast, especially the black man. Black men tend to overcompensate a lot. Have you ever noticed that? They try to know more, try to talk louder, try to be tougher, try to be the one that has to know everything. They do a lot of research and a lot of reading and to get information. For what reason, though? Why do you think they do that? Huh? They're idolaters. Who are they idolizing? Huh? The white man. I'm trying to know more than the white man. They don't even know the white man still has them bound, trying to know more than him. Because here's the mystery. What do you think the white man knows? You just need to know the Lord. Not know more than somebody else that's parallel and horizontal to you. I just need to know the Lord. I'm accepted in the beloved. My journey ends there. I never just try to study a bunch of stuff and know a bunch of stuff and read a bunch of stuff, because all that knowledge is going to do one thing. You know what it's going to do? It's going to puff you up and make you proud. You're going to seal yourself up in what you know, and nobody can correct you, because you know everything. You've read a lot of junk. But buddy, where is the power? This thing ain't, the apostle said, I counted everything I knew as dung. Here we are trying to know stuff, and the apostle said, I called it as a pile of doo-doo. It's all cow doo-doo to me. My upbringing as a Pharisee, I was trained. A Pharisee. As touching the law, blameless, good buddy. Couldn't nobody spot me with the law. You want to start quoting something from that scripture? Buddy, I'll run it down to you line upon line. This was Paul, man. Paul was the guy. The Sanhedrin, he was a master instructor. Couldn't touch him. Says a pile of horse and donkey doo-doo that I might win Christ, that I might attain to the righteousness of faith found in Jesus Christ. The question that really anchors us and ties us down is, what won't we turn loose of? Why are you still trying to be black? Why are you still trying to be white? Hispanic, Oriental. It's called pride of race. Pretty folk have a problem with pride of face, how they look. It's different in areas of pride that have to be dealt with. You see, all I can do is teach and preach the gospel, get it to who can hear it, and pray that they change and see it. That's the best I can do. I cannot make anybody drink. You can lead all the horses you want to water. Take them down to the Mississippi River. Lead horses to water, but you know what you can't do? You cannot make them drink. A person will justify blackness based on the Bible was written by white people and they perverted the word. Let me tell you why that makes no difference, because this is spiritual. The Bible says, hereafter shall no man know Christ even after the flesh. It don't make any difference if he was black, the Bible says. Because no man can know him after the flesh now. That's why he eliminated race. If you check out the Bible, you had the races of the world come out of three regenerated men. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. who were the sons of
Noah.
All the different races of the world came from these three individuals. Out of Ham, you got a lot of the dark-skinned folks that are down in Africa and that region. Japheth, you get the Germans and most of the white people. Now, Shem is where you get Semites from. You remember when they talk about the Jews, you're anti-Semitic? That means they came out of the loins of Shem. Now, the five sons of Shem were Elam, who established Arabia. Asher established the Assyrians. Lud, the Lydians. Aram was the Aramaic, the Armenians, with Kim the Kardashian is Armenian. The Mesopotamians and the Syrians. And Arphaxad was the lineage that came from Shem, one of his sons. And out of that lineage came Abraham. And out of Arphaxad came Abraham and the Jews. Now, folk always want to talk about the black man or the Jews. In actuality, some of the Semites that came from Abraham's lineage did travel to Ethiopia. That's why you had Ethiopian Jews coming back to Israel when they reformed Israel. You got all those black folks coming from Ethiopia. They were Ethiopian Jews brought back as Semites to the land of Israel. See, that's all physical stuff. But we know in Christ you become a spiritual Jew. You're born again. You're born into Abraham's lineage under the Semites, under Shem. So you got to have your mind radically worked on by God to lose racial identity in this present evil age, this world. If not, you won't be able to fellowship with your white brothers and sisters, your Hispanic brothers and sisters, your Oriental brothers and sisters within the confines of the household of God.
That's right.
And you know what you'll do as a preacher? You'll preach a black message for black folks. You know who you become? Farrakhan, Malcolm X, and all those guys that were preaching black racial pride. You know what's going to do to your message? You're going to defile it. It's going to make it unclean. Because the water is not clean. It's not pure. It's contaminated. You got to watch it. You can always pick it up. Because you'll hear them address black folks in the midst. Negroes this. See, these Negroes, they... Why are you saying... You talk... I'm preaching to a universal people worldwide.
Right.
I'm on the internet preaching to folks in China. Why am I talking about Negroes to the Chinese? The Chinese are probably thinking, what? Negroes? Why do you mention Negroes? Whatever language they're speaking. I don't know how to speak Chinese. They're probably thinking, Negroes? What? What is it? What does that have to do with the gospel? I'm trying to learn about Jesus. Negroes? See, see how crazy it is? You got a universal message now broadcasted over the world wide web talking about black folks. We're here to save 7.4 billion people of every tongue, tribe, and nation.
Amen. Amen.
That's the gospel.
That's the gospel.
And good buddy, I'm right. Anybody debates it, you're wrong. I'm right. Well, you sure a lot of, you're really proud. No, I'm not proud. I'm confident. I know I'm right. You can't preach folks into racial identity. You're going to get them proud. They're going to segregate themselves. And you're going to end up in a cult. A black cult. It's the difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. What he's after. He's after a depiction that he can show the world that every tongue, tribe, and nation can come together. And by this will they know that you're my disciples, because of the love you have one for the other. That's why we want a base camp. A base camp made up of all races operating in harmony.
Amen.
To show forth the life of Christ to a world in chaos.
Yes.
As the devil incites racial disharmony. We got harmony over here, good buddy. We got black folk, white folk, Hispanic folk, Oriental folk, American Indians. We got everybody over here. We could care less about that garbage. I don't understand you. You're a black man. In the words of one prophetic voice that cries out to everyone, one Sidney Poitier, you see yourself as a black man. I see myself as just a man. If you can become just a man, created in the image of God, you'll be a vessel fit for the master's use. And you'll be able to grab a hold of those two pillars reinforced by spiritual entities holding up the whole world. Push against them and watch this mess crumble to the ground. And the Philistines, who are a type of the demons, were destroyed as Samson departed this place. You know, I talk to preachers. It's a lot of guys that message over Facebook or sending messages behind the scenes to establish relationships. But I talk to a lot of preachers. I don't even mention these guys because I know God is working on them. I figure that, hey, I ought to have some impact on folk if I'm talking and they hear me. They can hear what I'm saying. I know preachers. They listen to what I'm saying. They won't let you know they listen to what I'm saying. Because they're proud, a lot of them. I don't want to give nobody no props and all that kind of stuff. But who cares? I'm trying to get the message to them. If it changes, folk, who cares who gets the props? We're trying to move the body of Christ out of here toward home. That's the mission. You don't need to have accolades and attaboys and somebody petting you up and kissing you on the head and telling you we like you and appreciate you, we love you. I mean, folks do that when they appreciate you because they do. But you to need that is something wrong with it. It's inordinate to need it, to need validation, to need verification, to need accommodation, to need somebody to always tell you you look good. You never tell me you love me. Well, if somebody tell you that, good. If they don't, live on. Right. To need it is not normal. To receive it and appreciate it when it comes, that's good. But that's not defining you. If it's not defining you, it's not confining you. You need to be free within the inner man. You need to be made whole inside of you. A lot of stuff flows on the outside of you. It's because of disparities and because you're not made whole on the inside. A lot of problems come from the inside out. I've ministered to a lot of people who've lost weight in life. Say, your problem is not the food and eating. Your problem is something that's inside you that's wounded. And it's like somebody putting up 1,000 barriers between you and the outside world to protect what's hurting inside of you. Get rid of the hurt on the inside and the outside will repair itself. That's all you got to do. This ain't hard. It ain't rocket science. This is a work in the heart of a human. When I see black guys preaching the gospel with racial stuff in them, I pray for them. I fast for them and intercede for them because I know the guy hurting. We got some good preaching guys. They're still hurting. So they can't interact with white people. They can't really fellowship with white people because of what a white man did to us. And they're always lumping inside of us against them. Us against them. You'll never totally amalgamate into the body of Christ with a us against them mentality. We got one enemy. Satan. That's the target that I launch against. I don't fight folks. I don't fight racial groups. I don't fight people. The devil is everybody's universal problem. All of us came from Adam's loins and Eve's loins. When the world was destroyed, it was reinvented, recirculated, and reestablished, replenished through Noah's loins and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I believe if you follow on in the Bible, you get down to Genesis chapter 10 with Nimrod and Semiramis building the Tower of Babel. When he scattered the world and he said he confused their languages, it's a very, very high probability that's where races came from too. That he distinctly made folk look different too so they couldn't harmonize. Because in harmony, worshiping the devil, you'd have this thing, man, a demon possessed, a satanic world that couldn't be retrieved. So God broke up mankind through languages and, I believe, race so that they could harmonize together to worship the devil. And now he regathers people in Christ. You see how he scattered them? and made them distinct, and then he brings them back together in Christ. So you lose everything on the outside of you, all identities, to be formulated again in Christ. Now, what I'm saying is absolutely right, and it's absolutely true. If you can't bow to it and just repent and let that racial stuff go, you got a strong man and you got a strong hold inside of you. And that demon that's mad inside of you right now because of what I'm saying needs to be cast out of you. So right now, what we'll do is cast out that demon. And we'll show, I'll show you right now that this is right as we take on this mission right here. All you got to do by way of live stream is shut your mouth and sit down. Don't stand up because God might have to knock you down. So sit down and we'll pray the prayer of faith to get you free from these demons. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I come before you. Deliver the message the way I believe you gave it to me. And I gave it to them. Like the Bible says, I receive it from you and I deliver it unto them. That's what Jesus said. Everything that he received from you, he gave to them. And he hasn't lost anyone except for Judas Iscariot, the son of perdition. I gave them the message you gave me. Now, God, if that be true, demonstrate the validity of your message by demonstrating yourself with mighty signs and wonders and the powers of the Holy Ghost. Right now, I come against the spirit of racism. Any leftover vestiges of racism and disharmony between races, I curse that spirit right now in Jesus' name. And I command you to loose your hold on everyone listening to my voice right now. And those that will hear this message later, lift up out of the souls of every black person, every white person, every Hispanic person, every Oriental person, every American Indian, every person from the East, the West, the North, and the South, Eskimos and any other racial groups, Scandinavians and all the different distinct racial groups on this planet. If they are members of the body of Christ, I curse your embedded substance in the soul, that nest you've built, and I drive you out in Jesus' name. I take authority over all spirits of whoredoms, the Jezebel spirit, witchcraft, divination used by the female form to control men. In the name of Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Ghost against you demons. And I drive you out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jezebel spirit, in Jesus' name, the spirit of perversion, pornography, sexual idolatry, spirits that came in through molestation, women that have been bothered and messed with at a young age, uncles, brothers, fathers, family members that have molested these women, giving them a high proclivity towards sexual dysfunction. I curse that soul tie with that individual. And I drive out that spirit that came from that molestation in Jesus' name. God, the insane spirits that came through hip hop, rap, music, all the defiling elements from the devil's entertainment systems, I curse you and drive you out in Jesus' name. God, send your power like rain. Flow through the souls of men. Drive out these demons and return people just like the Gadarene demoniac to a place of being seated, clothed, and in their right minds in Jesus' name. These are the last days. The end of the year is upon us, God. Restore the church to normal. Get out the inordinate unclean spirits. Curse that racial disparity that exists in the human race in the church. And raise up the church as a vessel that displays the true nature of God because of the brotherhood established in man by the Holy Ghost. And we'll give her the praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's going to wrap it up for this week. It's going to hopefully lead you to a place of getting your mind free from all this worldly junk. To know that, hey, there's two pillars that must be torn down. Government and religion. The two things we never talk about. Don't talk about politics and religion. Those are the two pillars that the satanic empire stand on. It's time to see that thing knocked over and the demons that undergird it destroyed. Remember, Dunamis Tabernacle, support it. If you don't support Dunamis Tabernacle and you can, if you got reasons that are legitimate, support somewhere else. Support something that's doing the job. Don't just sit there and do nothing. Don't be a spectator. If Omega is helping you, then we ask you to support us as we move to the next phase. That's establishing a base camp where we can actually put boots on the ground. It's not enough to talk over this internet. We need folks on the ground to bring this message to the human heart. That's what we want to train up and send out and dispatch to every corner of the world. So support Dunamis Tabernacle. You can do so on our website, www.omegaministries.org. Hit support, then donate, or mail it to the address shown at the bottom of our homepage or to Post Office Box 960146, Riverdale, Georgia, 30296. Remember nightly prayer, that prayer line number 1-805-399-1000, access code 409-367. And also remember the conference May 22nd through the 25th here in Atlanta. All the information posted this week, you can begin to register and line yourself up for your travel arrangements, accommodations, your planes and your travel accommodations. All that can be set up as soon as you got the dates and everything in front of you. So be proactive, get involved. It's time to do something about this devil. It's time to bring the devil down. And whatever you do, for God's sake, stay out of the matrix. See you back here next week. Have a good week. Be blessed.